Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I'm good. You caught me off guard there. What are you doing? Cut it in.
I was sick. Sick of waiting.
You're all right, gents?
I've seen you look better, John.
Ear fever.
Look at the state of him.
Anybody who suffers with ear fever, feeling my pain at the minute. Forgot my antihistamines. My nose is running. I've got to work. So I've stuck this couple of bits of tissue up my nose.
He's got two for anybody who's not watching, he's got two scrunched up pieces of toilet roll, and you're like a walrus or a
you can't say that.
Does it mean I'm like a walrus with or without the tissue?
What is it for? Is this like Vicks on it or something?
Is there what?
Vicks.
No, it's just obviously stopping the pollen getting up in it.
Stopping it going up?
Yeah.
Like a plug?
Aye, pluggish, yeah.
Well, I thought it was just for catchy snot.
No, because if the pollen don't go up, the snot don't start, does it?
Stop it at source, so Chris.
Yeah. There's no point dealing with the problem. Deal with the problem at source.
I know, but you look a dickhead.
I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered one bit. So with this on, my eyes are streaming, my nose is running, I'm sneezing, sniffling, I get a red nose from all the wiping. It's not pleasant.
We're on our holidays though.
Yeah. Oh, aye, we are. We're hoping the pollen count down here won't be as big.
We're in Poole at the moment, just a stone's throw away from Bournemouth.
Lovely, isn't it?
It is. We've got Jimmy Glass on the way.
In about 3 hours.
What about in the hotel when we asked the woman where the marina was?
Oh, she wasn't happy, was she?
Marina? What are you on about, marina?
She went, in fact, you're rude. Yeah. She'd be going on my Premier Inn Trip Advisor, Trip, what's it called?
And you were like, you know, we're boats and stuff. She went, the harbour. Aye, the harbour.
Sorry. Sorry. My bad.
Stupid fucking northern bastards.
Not our worst hotel experience of the weekend thus far, though.
No.
Went to Crystal Palace versus Leeds. There were videos on YouTube if anybody's not seen it. But we've gone to games without tickets before, but this week we were a bit last minute, didn't book the hotel, booked it on the way. We were running late, decided to get the hotel closest to the ground. And... Well,
location is everything, Matty, isn't it?
This hotel was the most repulsive thing I've ever been in. And I'm not a snob. No. I go one star maximum in Magaluf. And they're like fucking Saint-Tropez, they're like Dubai compared to that shit.
The TripAdvisor review that I saw was disappointing. And it was in caps. I know it was in caps. But still, you don't know what people's expectations are. And I thought, I can deal with a bit disappointing. Mm. But oh my word, I was certainly disappointed.
That was generous, wasn't it?
I don't think that you've been out of order when you're expecting it to smell half fresh.
Yeah. Just no smell is fine.
Yeah.
But
we don't need the Glade plugins, do we?
Nah.
We're not that way, are
we? We went for a wee on arrival in reception and it just stunk of fresh sick, as if someone had just thrown up within 3 minutes prior.
Yeah, within the last five.
And then there is the owner walking around with a Febreze gun. Obviously, must have realised that we were a little bit disappointed.
But very joyful chap he was.
He was.
Very, very joyful.
He didn't give a shit, did he?
No.
Hey, he didn't give a shit about cleaning either. I've never had to stop off at a supermarket on the way back to the hotel to buy scented candles. I've stayed in Amsterdam hostels. And nowhere near as bad as that.
It was almost as if he wasn't bothered what we were walking into. I've gone in my room and I've gone in the fucking the hamster box that I call an ensuite, and the floor, the mat, piss wet through. Oh, how can it be piss wet through? And when I'm gonna put my foot on it, feces. I think it was feces.
Yeah, actual poo.
Well, it was brown. Unless somebody got really, really mucky feet, right? It was filth. Absolute filth. And as I say, I'm far from snob, stopped in some shithole.
Did you come to our room on the morning in bare feet as well?
Yeah. Yeah, mistake. Mistake.
You come on with my fleece foot.
I'm bare chested as well. You said you got a copy for us, so I just came put some jeans on.
He was a jovial soul, wasn't he, at reception? He was probably just, as soon as we walked past, he's just like,
got four more.
Wait till they get in there.
Got four more idiots. We've got four more idiots booked in.
Fucking suckers.
Oh, our room was still sex.
Smelt like what I imagine a brothel smells like.
Can't comment.
Disgusting, man.
This sums it up. So I went down to him and says, my mat in my bathroom's wet through. I didn't have these in, by the way. He says, my mat in my bedroom, I said, my mat in my bathroom was wet through. He went, you want me to change mattress? What the fuck? What can he change my mattress for? A fucking concrete slab? I ain't got as much DNA on it.
It's the A, Steve Howie. Part two was out last week.
Very good, wasn't it?
Yeah, very, very good.
That aim you, man.
I need to listen to that back, man.
Brilliant. Oh, great two-parter. One of my favourite two-parters.
For the last few weeks, we've had a lot of best top five, top three, best one in ages.
Yeah.
That's nice, isn't it?
Mm. Not so nice for the lads who've been on in the last 5 or 6 weeks, like, is it? But, yeah, good. Very, very good.
And who've we got this week?
Peter Sweeney.
I played with Swedes at Stoke. Little, very similar we were.
Yeah.
Both struggled to keep us timber off. Both liked to drink.
Good career though. Millwall, Stoke, Leeds, Grimsby, Bury.
He was a good player.
Resurgence
by the way.
At Bury. Yeah. We'll get into it. And I know that we talked about his drinking and everything. I know he's got some. He talks openly about having regrets, especially about the Grimsby period. But.
He walked out of the frying pan into the fryer, didn't he, really, with it? Mm. Sounds like a big drinking culture. But as we've heard many a time, though, football were like that then.
Yeah. There's been a big change in a short period of time, hasn't there?
I wonder what it is like now. I don't even...
Shite. That's what it was like, shite.
Mm. I also got made to a plane, and so I don't know. But I don't think it was ever, since I was 25 and all that, it was never that bad. Yeah. Wherever I played, I don't know.
So obviously, we all
we all went out, but
all advices.
Not, yeah.
What were your advice?
People have different escapisms, don't they? I think that's the problem with the drinking. If you're having a bit of a bad time,
what were yours?
Shagging.
We're womanizing. It's not a bad one, really, because it doesn't do any harm, does it?
No, it's good
get
for you.
A lot of hassle. You get a lot of hassle, mind.
Keep your fitness up. Keeps your core solid.
It does. You get a lot of hassle, but it's not affecting your fat count and that, is it?
Hey, that Patreon. I hope if anybody's not involved...
Aggressive change of...
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah, change
Patreon,
of tone.
Come on, get yourself involved.
Because I can't stop in another shithole like that. Can't.
Oh, but yes, Patreon, if you're not already involved, I don't know how many... episodes are on there now. Any idea?
We just keep saying 50, don't we?
50, more than 50. And just think, if you joined now, you could be like, you're just paying that first month £3, I think it is, with the tax on top or whatever. But you'll get then. How many years have we had the Patreon? 2 years?
Two and a half years
worth of content there.
Yeah.
Content.
I hate that word.
So yeah, www.patreon.com/underthecosh, and you get all them extra episodes. Shall we get him in then?
Sweeney's here.
Oh, he's here. Sweeney!
Peter!
How are we, Pete?
You got any antihistamines on you, Pete?
Another teammate, John.
Yeah, one of many.
You look after you.
Of course he didn't.
We were like two peas in a pod.
No, he took a bit of limelight off me in a good way when he came, to be fair, because we were quite similar in terms of, I mean, to be fair, I still don't know why Tony Pulis signed us both.
Neither do I.
I think I've been asked it a few times. But we were just... well, just hated running, basically, wasn't it? And
a little bit heavy.
Little bit on the heavy side, yeah.
Little bit heavy.
Did he get on to you about it, Pulis?
Yeah, every day, yeah, yeah. Then you signed my third year, wasn't it? My final year. But yeah, Parky come and yeah, it was nice to, Gaffer's attention went somewhere else for a little
bit. The spotlight was elsewhere.
But he was pre-season was tough of him though.
Oh, Jesus.
Up the hills.
Like in forests. You went not a nice hill. You'd go in the middle of a forest and be traipsing up these hills and he'd be screaming at you. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't my type of manager and I probably weren't his type of player. But he'd done what he'd done. He's, you know, no one can fault he did. He got teams up and he got teams running and I mean, was you there when he first found out about Rory Delap's throw?
No.
This was in the stadium. We were doing shape one day. Rory Delap's come from, I think, Southampton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Him and Higgy, wasn't it? We're doing shape and Rory's just picked the ball up. Because I don't think anyone even knew, even when because he played in the Prem, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think he'd ever used it.
He's not, like, signed him for...
No, he's throwing. Well, if you look back at what it was used for about 5 years, no, it was unknown. So we're doing shape on the pitch. I've always just picked the ball up from the halfway line and launched it. Someone had made a run. Pulis is like, whoa. What is that? What is that? So everyone's actually looking, going, what just happened there? So he went, run that back a sec. But Rory, go over there, pick that up. He went, throw it again. Rory's just, and I mean the throw, it was like a corner from anywhere.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And it got to a stage where he fitted Rory into the starting lineup so much. Next week, Rory was playing left mid in my position. Never played left mid in his life. He's like, Gaffer, come on, mate.
Can you throw it, Sweens? No. Well, you're not fucking playing.
Like, yeah, go away, mate.
To be fair, I've said it before. I think Rory's got labelled with the throwing, but he was a fucking brilliant player as well.
He was better than that, yeah.
He was a brilliant player.
Definitely. I mean, he was. If you could put certain players under Tony Pulis, Rory would be that because he didn't cheat. He ran box to box. He was neat and tidy on the ball. He was he was a Tony Pulis player. But yeah, like you said, definitely he got labelled as
the throw-in.
I mean, I think I heard a story that he had to get surgery on this. He might tell you something different, but only what I heard. That he'd done that many throw-ins after 5 years, he had to get surgery on his collarbone. Or something.
I wonder how many he was averaging a game. Because both sides, in their half, he was taking it.
The game used to stop. If he was on the other side, it went out. He used to traipse over. The other team used to just get in the box, and it was just chaos, wasn't it?
But it worked.
Yeah, it worked.
It were undefendable.
I mean, how long did Tony have them in the Prem?
Well, probably
6, 7 years.
Yeah, easy.
You know,
he's
whatever he done worked exactly what he's doing. You know what I mean, but me and Parky didn't survive that. I got shipped out in the January. I went to Leeds, and that was the year you went up. You were still there, weren't you?
Yeah, the chicken wings.
Yeah. So this, mate. So obviously Parky signed. Parky's being Parky. Like, don't. You got to shift some weight. Yeah, all right, mate, whatever. I started sort of, because I was young as well, I started thinking, yeah, I'm going to start saying that as well, actually. Parky's saying it. So I can't remember if it was pre-season or during the season, but I remember me and Liam Lawrence had a room together. We were playing cards and that. So I think, we're going to see Parky. Obviously, bearing in mind, he's been told... I had to shift a stone as well. I've gone to the room, I still will never forget it. It's not on the door. Oh, he's answered in his pants, just in his pants, belly out and that. Like, you all right, lads? Chicken wing sauce all around his face.
Buffalo.
Buffalo. Oh, he's definitely buffalo, yeah. And honestly, there's a platter of chicken wings that I've never seen in my life. Just bones. There must have been about 50 of them. So I mean... So I remember even Liam was like, Parky, you're taking a piss. Like, you are taking a piss. We've got a game the next day. We've already been told we're stone overweight. He's like, oh, don't worry, they're only weeks protein, isn't it? Yeah, it's fine. But But that was my first sort of thing with Parky, and then
Boneyard.
We had just bones, mate. I swear to God. And but that was, I was sort of in and out of the team that year. You played quite a bit, didn't you?
I came on a sub a lot.
Yeah.
I came on a sub a lot. I couldn't shift the stone. Can just imagine Tony Pulis, can't you? No, but this disciplinarian.
Yeah, that was it. If you'd done, he was very. I used to go and see him sometimes. Go, listen, Gaffer, why am I not playing? Like, I should be playing. And he used to twist me up so much. I'd go out and think, yeah, I agree with him there. He's right.
I won't play him either.
He's a good manager, actually. But I don't know what he said, but he was just good at. So, but yeah, no.
Much. Are you going in as well? Like,
yeah, I'm angry. Yeah, I'm angry. I want to play him. Come out and go, yeah, he's right. I shouldn't be in the squad. But he. Yeah, look, he was brilliant at what he'd done, when he, and it's proven, you know, proven.
Back at the start, mate, 5 years at Millwall.
Yeah, that was, the starting point, about 14, I think. Yeah, I trained with a few other clubs and Millwall showed the interest.
Were you a fan of the club? Or
I grew up in Lewisham, so I used to go to Millwall as a kid.
Yeah.
So it was nice. I'd been to the Den and watched them before I played for them.
Yeah.
So coming through was nice as well. And all my friends in Millwall as well, so.
And what were you when you made your debut?
I was 17, under Mark McGee. 17, yeah.
What was he, McGee?
Yeah, he was good with me, McGee.
We've heard he's a twat, haven't we?
He was good with me. I don't know if it's because I was Scottish, I don't know, but he knew
that. Fair to me, you do sound very Scottish. Fuck it, I thought I was talking to John McSporran for a minute there.
No, he knew how to handle me. Like, he'd tell me straight, and that's one thing Wisey did as well. And Ray Wilkins, they'd call me. I had to be called in the office and given a slap every now and then. That was just how I was. And
for what though?
Just going out, and I had all my mates around here, so I did go out probably more than I should have, drinking and
at 17,
at that age. Probably 15, yeah.
Fucking, yeah. But from early
from
days,
early,
like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, not doing anything that a boy weren't supposed to do, but really, yeah. Looking back, should have done things a bit differently, obviously. But Mark McGee, there was one time I got, I'd been arrested for fighting, and Mark McGee called me into the office, and I thought I was in really bad trouble, and he was brilliant with me. He said, look, it just told me exactly what he thought I should be doing, and he understood the character I was, and I responded to that, to be fair. If you shouted at me and I didn't like you, I'd go the total opposite way. But with Mark McGee, I wanted to actually prove him right, if you know what I mean, and...
Yeah, put trust in you.
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah, and Dennis Wise done the same as well with Ray. So there's no surprise that it went well at Millwall because of that.
Kind of character were you at like 17 and even younger, getting into that team squad? Were you scared of anyone?
I was really sure of myself. Football wise, I weren't scared to train with the first team, or if anything, when I was probably 16. Just turned 17, maybe. I thought I should be playing in the first team. That was my opinion, and so I was confident. I weren't arrogant. I don't think anyone could say they didn't like me, but yeah, I was sure in myself, football wise. As soon as I went on the pitch, I was fine. I was sure that I was all right. You know what I mean?
Did you find that the manager liked that, won't he? But with some of the older pros, like,
yeah,
hold on a minute.
Some of the older pros at the time didn't like it, and I mean some of the players that end up becoming some of my best mates, you know. But I knew, like, Paul Eiffel, Timmy Cahill and that. Like, who's this little... Like, and rightly so, you would, wouldn't you? Because I would have done the same, go, who's this little geezer? So,
strutted
in. That's just how it was. And then I think I earned my stripes, so that I became friends with them. And then obviously I was in the first team, and it happened really quickly under Wisey. And that was another story that I had to go, when I had got arrested with my mate, during it all, Mark McGee got the sack and Wisey took over. But Wisey was a player at the time. I didn't know Wisey hated me. Ray Wilkins told me this. But Wisey hated me because of what I've just said, maybe a little bit too much arrogance. I remember I used to take free kicks with Wisey, and he was good at free kicks as well. And that was my thing. And I remember I was wrapping them in the top bins, and like, I'm 17 years old and I'm looking at Wisey going, you can't even do that, mate. Like, this is Dennis Wisey. He must be looking, going, this geezer's going to get a slap in a minute, mate. So Wisey took over, and then I was training with the first team at the time. He sent me back to the under-19s. So I'm like, what's going on here? So on the Saturday, we had an under-19s match that me and Marvin Elliott played in, and Ray Wilkins come and watched. And apparently after it, Ray went to Wisey, what's Sweeney and this Marvin Elliott playing for the 19s for? Wisey was like, nah, I don't like Sweeney. He's not going to play. And Ray told me this to my face. He said, no, he's got to play. So the following week, I had to go to court for what was going on. So I was there Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. Still remember Dave Tuttle come with me.
Big Tuts. General Tuts.
Big Tuts come, yeah. And you imagine what Tuts, you know.
Come to court with you.
Yeah, he's representing Millwall Football Club, isn't he? Like,
he'll have been fucking on expenses knowing Tuts. Yeah. Oh, son. Lucky shoes, son. Yeah, he had a pair of shoes, right?
I think they asked him a question and I was thinking, who's this geezer they brought? He does not work for Millwall. 100%.
Is he your like character witness?
He's the one coming saying that he's plays for Millwall, he's got a chance to make it and that. I don't think it worked, to be honest with you, if I'm honest.
Honestly, we're at Barnsley and he had these pair of shoes and they were like, builder's shoes, lucky shoes, son. Lucky shoes.
Did he have them in court?
He bought them as a YTS, right? And he was 34. And he was still wearing his seven. Well, from when he was 17.
Yeah, that was. He did not care about anything. He's a great geezer, though. And he came. So Wisey phoned me on the Wednesday night. I got found guilty for a fray or something. My friend weren't so lucky. And Wisey phoned me and said, I've heard you've got some good news, blah, blah, blah. Because there was talk of, like, I could have gone away. And he said, you're starting Saturday at Burnley, away. And I remember I was in the physio room on the Wednesday night because I don't know why I ended up back at the club, at the training ground for some reason. And I was in the physio room on the phone. I'll never forget it. And I said to Wisey, I actually said, listen, I promise you, I will not let you down. Because if someone showed that in me, it was like, I feel like I owe you something now. And and if I didn't get on with you, you'd be, like, certain managers are just...
Wash your hands.
But that didn't do me any favours, but that's just how I was. So when Wisey said to me, I still remember saying, I won't let you down. I promise you. Went, played Saturday, I got man of the match of the game. And that's how my sort of Millwall career kicked off. I didn't come out of the team for a long time after that.
Did you change your lifestyle at all after the court case and everything? Did you?
No, not really.
Because that'd be a shock to the system for some.
Yeah, no. I was a bit more aware of trouble.
Getting caught,
yeah.
If you'd have been a quicker runner, you could have fucking got away, couldn't you?
I tried to run away from the police in Stoke one time. They caught me. I weren't the quickest, mate. But it just... It's weird. I didn't really. It all just happened for me, you know. Like, I weren't one of them people who done extra training and done. It just sort of. I was a good player, and I think that was a little bit of my downfall as well. That I never went that extra. I always thought my ability would carry me through. When really, it catches up with you, doesn't it?
You think a lot of managers would say, "What a player!" But he could have been. So much
yeah,
better.
I think anyone that played with me would never question my football ever.
I thought he'd done well to do what he fucking did. I thought it'd be a fucking Greenwich Borough fucking 12 years earlier, mate. Do you think this, I don't know if this is the right thing to say or not, but you've got like a sort of 17, 18 year old lad who's just been in bother with the police.
Yeah.
And then he's starting on the Saturday. Do you think if you're at any other club apart from Millwall, that would have happened? You know, with the fans. Maybe not, you know, like if you're at Fulham, say, it's a nice club. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And would it, a different manager than Wise?
I think a different manager, definitely, yeah.
Would it almost be seen as a badge of honour at Millwall?
That's one of us. That's what I was referring to. We aren't trying to be disrespectful to Millwall.
The thing is, what I would say about the Millwall fans is that they, obviously they've got their stigma of what they are. They don't like the players doing it. I know that firsthand because they told me. They told me every Saturday, stop drinking. And that Millwall, the Millwall fans, you know, they care about the players on the pitch. And that wouldn't have, me going to court and stuff like that, wouldn't have given me extra stripes. Definitely not. I think, like you said, it would have been down to the manager. That's good management. He must have known how to get, because he got me. Yeah. He got me at my best, and that was the starting point of it. But me saying to this person, I won't let you down. Like, not said that many a times. So
all the time about managers liking players with a bit of an edge or something where they think I'll get hold of him.
Yeah. Well, Ray Wilkins definitely had. I had a good relationship with Ray in terms of. I mean, he was just a legend as well. Like, just his aura of. He was nice to speak to, and he used to pull me all the time and say, listen, you don't realise how good you are. Like, and for someone of his calibre to say it to me, it was like, bloody hell, it's a big lift, isn't it, you know? I used to carry on making the stupid mistakes and stuff, but when he called me in, and then I'd sort of calm myself down for a month or two, but I just couldn't, do you know what it was? I couldn't turn down a night out. Just couldn't do it. Midweek, anywhere, like, it's just, and yeah, that was it. And it, like I said, I was young then, so I could do it and still play. Once I hit 26, 27, body starts breaking down and that.
I mean, probably similar, but I always moved away. So all my mates from back home, I wasn't getting sucked into that.
Yeah, that's what I'd done. That's why I signed for Stoke. That was my original plan. It didn't work out.
He's got a drinking squad at Stoke.
Yeah. And my mates just came up to see me. Because obviously we was young, I was probably one of the first people to buy a house. And so I remember the first time I bought a house, I had about eight of my mates come up. And all my mates are not the quietest people. And so I'm out in Stoke Town now. Everyone's like, Sweeney, you all right, mate? I'm like, yeah, lagging drunk and... Yeah, it didn't start well.
Please tell us you were playing in that Sheffield United game when Muscat butted Paddy.
Yeah.
You weren't in the tunnel, were you?
I'll tell you what happened. I'm glad I weren't in the tunnel, to be fair. Me and Marvin Elliott were the first ones to go into the changing room. So then we could hear a commotion. And obviously you couldn't even sort of open the door where it was just bodies. I mean, it's only a little tunnel. You've been to it, didn't you? Yeah. You've been to it, so we're looking. Anyway, the one thing I saw was Danny Dicchio had a Powerade bottle and was smashing it over. Who's the big centre-half's name?
Morgs.
Morgs, his head. This plastic bottle and was smashing it over his head. And Dicchio was a big lump, like. So I'm looking, going, oh. Marvin's going, open the door. I'm going, I can't. Holding it with the other hand, like. I think apparently how it started was Muzzy, Kevin Muscat had had sank with Paddy, the keeper. But Paddy Kenny didn't come out second half, I don't think.
They both got sent off.
Oh, did he get sent off? Oh, right. There's a thing on, did Muzzy get sent off as well? I can't even remember.
They both got sent off.
Did they?
Yeah.
There's the documentary, there's cameras in the Sheffield United changing room.
Oh, is there
and
really?
You can see Chris Morgan coming out and going down the tunnel. With the cameras are at the back.
Got a Powerade stamp on his body.
He's lathered in juice.
His eyes are sticking together with the Powerade.
The blueberry flavour, wasn't it? The blue face.
It was a nice one, wasn't it? What a waste, man.
That was a big one, wasn't it?
But at the end, Warnock's on the pitch just going up to all you lads saying, serves you right for Muscat, that.
Oh, my God. I remember that. Warnock come on the pitch and was saying that's Muscat's fault because they beat us, didn't they?
Yeah, 2-1, I think.
Tell you what, Jody Morris was playing as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, because he said it to him.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that now, yeah. But yeah, that
that's
was
for Muscat, that, isn't it? That's for Muscat.
That's Muscat. Yeah. For Muscat. That's Muzzy's, as if we was going to go in and blame Muscat anyway.
Was he a handful?
Was he a- yeah, he was the best captain and geezer off the pitch, but when he went onto the pitch, something happened. Well, I mean, you'd even try and talk to him as a teammate and he'd tell you to fuck off. I mean, he just went into another mode when he was on the pitch. He had the best thing. He used to be able to do a fake whistle, right? I don't know if anyone even still knows this to this day. People would go through on goal and he'd do this whistle and it'd sound like the refs whistling. And players would stop and just kick the ball away. And then the ref would be going, what's going on here? And Muzzy would run and get the ball and pass it. It went on for about a month and a half until someone, I'll tell you who he was playing, Burnley. They had a striker with like some, oh, who's the striker's name? Good little player he was. But he went through on goal and there must have been talk about it because it'd been going on for a month and a half. He saved about 12 goals, Muzzy. That's probably why we was up near the top. Like, I swear to you, people were running through on goal and he'd just giving the ball back to the keeper. Going, oh, offside again. But, so this geezer at Burnley's gone through. He's gone through, but he must know that it's Muzzy. So he's gone through and it's happened and he's picked the ball up in anger and gone to the ref. He's tried to grass him up. So the refs end up giving us a free kick for his handball. Now the geezer just lost it. He's not going to play. This Jones or whatever his name, he wants to fight everyone now. He's like, he's cheating. So Muzzy's gone up to the ref and gone, I know he's saying it's me, obviously. You can't, that's a real whistle. 100%. So obviously someone...
That's a real whistle.
That's 100% a real whistle. Even the ref's going, yeah, that sounds too good. Like, that sounds too good. So someone on the tannoids. Has gone, whoever's got the whistle in the crowd, can you stop disrupting the game or something like that? So we're all looking at each other going, oh my God. Like, then at half time, I think, why is he, one of the players might... Muzzy, that's it now. It can't be done. Yeah. It's just, we couldn't do it again. But he got us about 14 points from it, 100%. It was a good little tactic.
Dunny came to you for a bit of help, didn't he? One time.
Dunny.
Alan Don.
Yeah. We're...
Cameron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So...
How's that laugh again? I like that.
So, yeah, so, oh, mate, so, yeah, Dunny's one of... He's one of my closest. And Mark McCammon, great geezer. But, I mean, the biggest man you've ever seen in your life. Him and Dunny are just... Something's happening between them, like, for a couple of weeks. So Dunny's pulled me and Marvin. He's like, listen... And Marvin... Dunny was game. Like, he was a game geezer. He weren't scared. And so Dunny's pulled me and Marvin. He's like, listen, if it goes off, like, help me.
So he weren't scared, but he just knew he needed a backup.
He knew he needed some help with Mark, like, holding him or something. So, but me and Mark got on, and he's someone I would never want to go near anyway. So I thought, there's no way, you know what it's like, football. Someone, before a fight starts, normally gets broke up anyway. So I'm saying to Danny, like, yeah, of course, mate, no worries. Like, yeah, yeah. Mate, I'm going to Marvin. Is he off his nut, mate? Thinks I'm going near that geezer. So I'm calming it down for another week. Now I'm going, Danny, just leave it. Like, you don't like each other. Anyway, we're training at the stadium. We used to train at the stadium on a Friday and then travel from there wherever we was going to an away game. So in the change room, I can hear some commotion. I think, that's Danny. But then I can hear Mark McCammon go, get in the change room. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. So they've both come in the changing room, and I mean, they're at it. They're trying to have it with each other. So I've run and grabbed Dunny and sort of all got split up in that, and pulled Dunny after, and I went, listen, you need to nip this in the bud, mate. Did you see how Mark McCameron was holding off about eight players? Like, it was eight players holding him, and he was picking them up by his arms. And I went, Dunny, why do you really want to fight? Even Dunny went, yeah, I think we'll leave it now. Like, you're right, Sweeney. We'll leave you. Don't worry. I went, that's not for that, mate.
This is the Friday before you travelled away.
It's the Friday before we travelled away. And so much happened at Millwall. I mean, Moses Ashokodi won away trip, tried to stab Mark McCammon. Yeah.
Did he get sacked for that?
I think Moses got the sack, yeah.
He was
chasing him around the track. They were both injured. Why? We was playing cards. Why has he got a phone call saying Moses Ashikodi's chasing Mark McCammon around the training ground with a butter knife? trying to step. But
was he just spreading?
So Wisey's like, oh, for God's sake. Like, so it's all calmed down. Anyway, it turned out the argument started about who had the driest feet. That was what the argument was about, apparently. So Moses could have it that he had dry feet and McCammon. So he's chasing him around trying to stab him. But it was just, Millwall was a mad place, mate. Mad.
He's got the driest feet.
Yeah, that was a butter knife.
How do you even test that?
That butter knife would have just bent on McCammon anyway. But I think Moses did. I think he went to Rangers, actually, because he was a good player, Moses. But I think, yeah, he had to. He had a lot of chances, and he was a bit of a fruitcake. Like.
Was Wise on that front? Was he? Did he stick with him for so long? Did he try and
sort him out? He always backed you, Wisey. Yeah, if you was his player, he would. He'd back you, like, yeah. He'd tell you straight as well. If you was acting an idiot, he'd pull you in the office and he'd tell you in no uncertain terms. But I liked that. I did like it. I responded to that. Because for me, that was like, he gives a shit, you know what I mean? And so that's why, obviously, under Wisey, things did go well for me. Because he'd pull me in the office and tell me, Swains, you're taking a piss. I mean, one time we went, it was Paddy's Day on a Thursday. And this was what Millwall was about. I can't remember who came in, probably Muscat. Went, right, boys, we're all leaving now. Bearing in mind, we've got a game Saturday. And obviously, a Thursday and Friday was no drink, wasn't it? They went, we're all going into Beckenham for Paddy's Day. Leave your cars here. So there's 14 of us straight away, like straight after training into Beckenham, lashed up. We've sent a squad photo to Wisey, thinking it'd be funny. Like, all of us there, hey. So we've ended up, I mean, me, Graham Stack, Marvin, didn't even sleep. And gone to training the next day. Wisey's come in the changing room with breathalyzers. So he's got breathalyzers, not everyone that was in the photo. So he's done me, I fouled, obviously. Marvin was with me the whole time, right? And he's passed the breathalyzer. So I'm looking at him going, hang on a minute. We'll speak about this after, because this is like, nah, you're cheating, saying kid.
I can smell a rat here.
Yeah, a rat, exactly. He's like, I don't know, I've only just stopped drinking. But he had a metabolism that could probably do that. And so there was about six of us that failed the breathalyzer, and this is Friday now. We've got a game the next day. So after training, he pulled the six of us and just ran us. And he said, look, he went, boys, I'm not fussed. He said, if anything, I quite like it that all you were there. But he said, I've got to sweat all the alcohol out of you. So he just ran us for about half an hour, then went, see you later. He didn't hold a grudge. He said, we've got a game tomorrow. Right, that's all the alcohol out of your system. And that was it, done.
Remember how you got on?
Wouldn't you?
Huh?
Remember how you got on?
Probably got beat, I think.
You take that, because if you think the manager's fuming, breathalyzer, and that,
yeah.
You take a few.
But he come in and he
I've got a feeling Marvin were on the old rum and coke, but no rum.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? No rum, definitely. He was up the whole night as well. He was like, and to be fair to Marvin, he was a drinker. Well, I thought he was. When he passed it, because I just failed as well, I was like, honestly, to this day, I ain't got a clue how he passed.
See, to be fair, a lot of managers have gone, right, all 14, 2 weeks' wages.
Parking, exactly.
No fines, nothing.
No fines, nothing. No fines. If anything, he said, I do quite like it. It's the wrong day, but he liked everyone being together.
Mm.
It was like, Millwall didn't sign anyone who was an absolute nutter at that time. So I don't know if it just worked out that way. I mean, Noel Whelan come as well. Jesus Christ, mate. He thought, honestly, he was on another level.
I remember trying to have him on, but Leeds won't let him on, will they?
He was off his nuts, mate. Like, great geezer, but just, I remember one time when he was injured, if he was late, Jerry the physio was a strict guy. I remember I was injured, I was getting treatment about saying, Whelan's come in. It was like, if you was a minute late, it was 50 quid. And then it went up by tens every like 5 minutes or something. Whelan's come in. He's handed Jerry 120 quid, what the fine would have been. He's probably, he's not that late, he's 15 minutes late or something, so he's gone. There's a fine. Jerry's like, cheers, got the arm, and he went, actually, I'm going to be late tomorrow as well. I went, and I was a young kid, and I went, you're my hero, mate. It's the best thing I've ever seen. Just talked to me and went, I'm going to be late tomorrow as well. Just chucked it on the side. Like, but it's like, I was thinking, but he come, I think it turned out he had a lot of issues off the pitch at that time, which I didn't know about anyway. But yeah, no, good geezer, mate. Good player as well, you know.
Worth saying is we're doing well. This is the time when you...
Yeah, listen, that squad in the Championship, you'd have put us up against any team, like 100% against any team in the Championship.
And like you said, do you think that FA Cup run, and obviously getting to the final, sacrificed promotion that year?
I've been asked a few times, and I don't think anyone would say it would, but I generally do believe it did, because... I don't know if people were thinking, I don't want to get injured. I don't know. But it took an element of getting promoted. We was in the FA Cup final, do you know what I mean? It was a big...
I think it's got a little bit watered down now, the FA Cup final.
Yeah, it's not the same. Yeah.
Back in the day, it was massive, isn't it? Then. Massive.
But the country stopped for the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
And when it's a David V. Goliath situation, definitely. As it was.
And it was probably a one-off that... hasn't happened. I mean, a Millwall v Man United. And if you look at the Man United team as well, probably one of the best they've had.
Yeah, they weren't
Ronaldo, Giggs, Scholes, Keane, Van Nistelrooy.
Are you up against on that day? Ronaldo and Neville?
Yeah. Ronaldo and Neville, yeah. I stayed away from Ronaldo, to be fair.
Tactic, just take him out.
Just don't look rubbish as much as you can.
Well, we know that you weren't one for tracking back, Sweeney.
Do you know what I mean?
I can imagine Ronaldo got quite a few crosses in that game.
Well, Robbie Ryan, the geezer who was playing left back, he had a busy day. Let's put it that way. Sweeney's, get back. All right, Rob, you stay. I'm marking Neville here, mate. Got enough on my plate.
What was preparation like?
Listen, we prepped to win the game 100%. There was no... But obviously, it was... Yeah, it was going to be difficult, wasn't it? But we trained to try and get a result, definitely. That was the type of team we was. And obviously, having Wisey and Ray Wilkins, yeah, we did. I mean, but even standing next to them in the tunnel and that, like you're looking at them and the presence of them and that, it's just this weird, it's a weird thing. Like even Scholes, small, but legs out here and, you know, like... Their presence was just, it was scary. It was intimidating, like.
Yeah, I'm a big Dragons Den fan, me. What were this Pafitis like?
Theo, mate. Theo is a complex character, mate. Because I was young, I didn't really have a lot of dealings with him. My agent would deal with, and I only signed two contracts at Millwall anyway. Yeah, no, he was... Yeah, he was a bit full of himself, yeah.
What are you like a... Could you... You know, if he offered you a contract, would he stick to it? Or would he... then you come to sign it and like...
Yeah.
Theo's on the fucking wind-up again.
Yeah, no, I've heard, fuck off, Theo.
Yeah,
I've heard... I think he done that to Timmy, actually. I think he offered something. The day come and the contract was just like... It was like Tippex. With like a one there instead of an eight.
That's it then. If I had won Dragon's Den, yeah. I'm not even giving Pafitis a chance. Fuck him.
Yeah,
I said 25% of the business. No,
if he wants to invest, say you're 15, out.
Right? Theo, I'm out, mate. Before we start, I'm out, Theo. Fuck off.
Yeah, definitely.
Deborah.
When you left, was it just the opportunity to... Or...
It was... I didn't want to leave. No. It just sort of panned out. And then I did think, like you were saying, just leave London, go up to Stoke.
You think you were ready for that?
I thought I was. I weren't. I thought I was.
You took everybody with you.
Yeah. If anything, it was the worst thing I'd done. Because now I've got this big house and, like, obviously I've signed a good contract and
A lot better than you were on at Millwall.
Not too much better, but the incentives and stuff like that. But I weren't wanting for much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but then I just went up there and I got injured, fractured my back. So then, first game, what was that friendly Stoke had every season?
Newcastle Town.
Yeah, them. And so I fractured my back there. So they've said, right, you've got to shut down for 3 months. Can't do anything. So I'm like, just come up here now. So I don't even know how this has been swindled, how I've done it. I've said I'm really homesick. I can't come in training every day and do core. I had to do core. That's all I could do. So Dave went, I'll speak to the gaffer, Johan Boskamp, the Dutch fella, who was a nice geezer. So they've ended up saying, come in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then have the rest of the week off and then come back Monday. So I'm thinking, you can't show me that. You can't, don't do that. I didn't even want it, but I took it. I couldn't even say I can't take this. It's that good. So I'm like, oh my God. So I've gone back to London on the Wednesday. Anyway, a week's gone past. So I'm in a bar not far from here, Bexley Village, my mate's uncle's wine bar, Tracks Bar. And all my mates are going Magaluf. Oh, obviously, I didn't book because obviously I should be doing pre-season. So we're out, sun's shining and that. They're going the following Thursday to the Sunday.
Thursday, that's the perfect day for you, isn't it?
I'm off. If anything, it's too perfect.
You gift us in the move, can you?
So I'm like, right, so someone's just gone, hang about, why don't you come? You can come now. And I'm like, yeah, I can, can't I? Booked a flight the following Thursday with them, went to Magaluf with a fractured back. I mean, I was on the rubber dinghies.
Banana boards.
Yeah, everything.
The rubber dinghies.
Do you know the ones you lay down flat as well, where you could actually snap your back if it was right? So I'm on all these. Anyway, we're walking down the strip one day. I've heard, Sweeney, about 7 Stoke fans. It was like, what are you doing here? I was like, oh, I've got some time off. I've fractured my back. They was like, we've just seen you on the banana boat. I was like, nah, that weren't me, mate. I swear to God, that weren't me. So anyway, obviously got back from there. I've put on about 2 stone now because obviously I can't even do anything. And I'm not changing. My lifestyle ain't changed. Come back, got the x-ray again to see if it was fixed. I still remember even going to the hospital thinking, this fracture is going to be twice as bad. There's no way it can be fixed for what I've done in these past month and a half. But anyway, the fracture was fixed. And I remember the doctor who went to me, shook me out, he was like, well done. You must have done everything you've been asked on. And I was like, yeah, I have, thank you, mate.
That rubber ding came back into place.
Yeah, it's been really hard, to be fair, mentally and that. Well, I'm ready to get fit now.
Cheers, Doc.
Cheers, Doc, for all your help, pal. It's been so hard.
Imagine if that's today, man. There's just a picture on Twitter of you on the back of a banana boat, isn't there?
Hey, in Bermudas. Honestly,
every single water sport ride you could do, I'd done with a fractured back. And but yeah, so it took me... That season was sort of a dead season because I was that much out of shape and stuff. And, you know, it's like... So 3.5 months of doing nothing, then...
Just after 2 months of doing nothing in the summer, really, aren't you?
Exactly that, Parks, yeah, exactly, mate, yeah. And
I think you've done well for 2 stone, mate, I'll be honest with you.
I think I'm saying 2 stone, mate. I'm trying to keep me down a bit. So it took me, it just took a while to get back because obviously you can't do too much because your body's out of shape and... And then I was in and out of the team under Johan Boskamp. He was getting me back in, to be fair, and then season ended. Then Tony Pulis came back. But
did you take Chaddy under your wing? Luke Chadwick?
Chaddy, mate, what a guy he was. Was you there? Did you see Chaddy there?
No, I don't think so.
He was the second season, yeah, when Pulis came back. Pulis brung him. And, I got on well with Chaddy. Funny guy. Funny, good player as well. But funny... He was like dry, horrible banter. he cut you in half. And because he had a few quid as well, remember he had the old Coutts card, you know, the I think you had to be a millionaire to have it. He used to just bring it out and out every now and then. Coach card. You little skint mug. And he used to be sitting there going, Chaddy, come on, mate. I'm only young. But he was a good player, mate. Really good player.
You're quite happy that Tony's coming back because he originally wanted to sign you before.
Yeah, yeah. It was no... To be honest with you, I didn't really think about it. It didn't really bother me. Or what manager I played under, it was just... But when he came back, I thought, obviously, originally he wanted to sign me. And so, and fair play, I've done pre-season. I had a good pre-season, started the season. And to be fair, I was flying. And I know there was a couple of clubs that were sniffing about. I think Birmingham were one of them. Stoke pulled me in and offered me a new contract. And obviously, I knew the money that was flying about and that. And it weren't enough money. But looking back, probably naive from my agent. My agent went, "Dar, turn it down," thinking that Pulis would come back with another one. Well, Tony being Tony, she went, "Yeah, all right." I was out of the squad the next week. I still remember it was away at Leeds. Pulled me in, I travelled as well, and I was like the 18th man. He was like, "I'm going to rest you." I was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "I've been the best player for 2.5 months. He's like, "I think you look a bit tired." I was like, so I sat in the stand and watched it, and I think they won 4-0 or something. So you know straight away when that happens. And then I struggled to get back in the team after that, yeah.
You've said about him being stubborn, haven't you?
Oh, he's a stubborn fucker.
Oh, Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, yeah. That was probably a big mistake, turning that, in the way I turned it down. But that weren't my fault. That was me, my agent at the time,
taking the advice.
He should know better, really. My mum and dad didn't know. They ain't got a clue about football and stuff. But to just turn it down, think maybe come across a bit disrespectful.
Yeah, really not like that.
And he didn't like it, mate.
No, yeah. Really not like
he
that.
He didn't like it. I spent a year knowing that he didn't like it. Yeah. So that was, that was probably a big mistake doing that.
The thing is, you're looking at Leeds, it's a good move though, isn't
it? Yeah, it was, yeah. It was, that was Wisey. I only went because Wisey was there. What happened was, ended up signing for him, played a game, it was on Sky Sports, this game against Crewe. Remember, and I set Jermaine Beckford up. We beat Crewe 1-0. So it was a perfect start. Next game, Wisey's called me in the office, gone, "Swains, I've killed you." And I was like, "Why?" He went, "I'm going Newcastle." So I went, "Wisey, please, no." He went, "I'm so sorry, mate." He went, I mean, he was getting paid a fortune. I understood. So I'm like, "I've only come here because Wisey's here and I could still be in the championship." Who come in? Gary McAllister came in and then I was on the bench. But if I ever got questioned, that was the best thing you could do to me. That's because I would go, "Yeah, all right, I'll show you." So once I was out of the team, I got back in the team under Gary McAllister. But then once I'd done that, I'd take my foot off the gas again. And then I was out of the team and after that, and then my head just went. And I didn't even care because it just turned into a bad move. Do you know what I mean?
Mentally, still only 25, are you?
24, I think.
24?
Yeah.
What's the best way to manage you then? You know, in terms of getting you in the team and...
Question me, definitely. Question me. If I got questioned about my ability or I'm not too sure about this, I'd go the other way to show you.
Prove a point.
But basically, just give you a fucking every now and
just,
again.
Yeah, just absolutely hammer me every day.
Yeah.
And I think Wisey knew that. Wisey was never nice to me.
Yeah.
I knew he loved me as a player. But yeah, that was, and that was my downfall as well, with regrets of once I got to that stage, I never had something in me to kick on again. I'd always end up going back there, then I'd get there again. And I'd stop, go back.
Got
there.
Into a bit of a comfort zone there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a respect thing as well. Like, you obviously had massive respect for Dennis Wise.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he
knew, even though he'd obviously give you a fucking.
Yeah.
But it was them buttons that you needed to be pressed.
I just think for him as a player as well, obviously. And I mean, touching on some other managers that I played under, you know, one time I've got Kevin Blackwell trying to tell me how to take a free kick. But he can't even kick the ball properly while he's telling me. He's trying to tell me how to take a free kick. What you got to do is, mate, you got to get your foot and bend it that way. What you got to do is shut your mouth, mate. Like, just manage the team and do, like, so, yeah, respect for Wisey's and Ray Wilkins, who played the game, and even Johan Boskamp, the Dutch guy, I found out he joined in training and you could see he played. And yeah, I think that has an element to do with it as well, without me knowing until I got older, you know?
Yeah. Did you read completely, like you said, you just, at Leeds, you just had
enough? Oh, Leeds, I shut off, yeah.
Good night and all, isn't it?
Great night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, I could get in most clubs, like, really easily.
They all knew
me.
Knew you.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, and then another thing happened at Leeds where it was under McAllister when I said, I've got to leave now. So I'm not even in the squad, blah, blah, blah. He was like, yeah, look, if you can find a club, get a club. So I wouldn't have struggled to find a club. So MK Dons, obviously Leeds had said I could go on a free to get me off the wage bill. And so the next day I'm at MK Dons. They got the new stadium and that, and sorted everything out. Went back the next day. MK Dons have phoned me and gone, Leeds are asking for 250 grand now. Yeah, I'm like, what? So I went into the office. I'm like, Gaffer, what's going on? And so McAllister's saying, oh, it's nothing to do with me. It's upstairs. So I'm like, take me upstairs then, because where is this invisible upstairs? I'm upstairs now. There ain't another upstairs. Like, where is these geezers running this from upstairs? And so basically, yeah, they, I think because it happened so quick, they've obviously thought we can get some money for him. Then that, soon as that deal went away, that I just went into total destruction mode, like, for about a year. I wasted a year of my career. I've been training with the kids there and that. After McAllister, Simon Grayson come in.
Right.
And, I mean, I still to this day don't even know him. Like, it was, he come in and give the old spiel, everyone's got a chance. And what I can say is, and listen, I was one of the best players there. No doubt about that. Like, if I weren't, I could look in the mirror and go, do you know what? This squad's out of my depth. I would always say that. But the fact that it wasn't, I mean, I had, like, Douglas, the captain, saying, like, Sweens, what have you done? Like, how are you not playing? I'm like, I don't know, mate. So Grayson come in and just done the exact same, like he was getting told upstairs. Carried on the way I was going. I thought, do you know what? You've still got to pay me. I'm not going anywhere until you either pay me up now or I get the right contract offer.
Mm.
But yeah, what I end up wasting, I probably wasted a year doing that, being my stubborn myself.
And are you going out a lot here?
Drinking.
Yeah, to the point, do you think it's like that escapism of...
Yeah, like I'm turning up for training like smashed.
So is that...
I'm... Because in my head now, I'm going, right, you've just stopped me from moving. I had a nice move. And I was at me because it was closer to London. It was a perfect move for me at the time. So I had my backup that, no, you've done me here now. So now I'm going to disrespect everything about this now. So I would come, they would find me, the maximum they can do is 2 weeks. They'd do the 2 weeks wages. I'd be like, take the 2 weeks, mate. It didn't bother me. My head was so far gone. But yeah, like I said, I ended up wasting probably a year, which, looking back, was not good for me. Mm. That club was still going on. My career had stopped, really, where...
Your drive to play is just zero.
No, I train with the kids every day.
And that's self-destructive, really, because you're not going to get...
It's not didn't benefit me one bit. I'd go in, train with the kids, and then finish training, do what I had to do, get the weekend off. I'd just go and get a train back to London for the weekend, come back in on the Monday, train, Monday to Friday, weekend off, go back to London. And that was me for a year. Like, crazy, looking back, crazy. How I even done it for a year? I don't even know how I've done it for a year.
And what condition are you in physically?
I'm training every day, so I'm all right. Yeah, if I had to play, I could play. I was fit, but then I ended up going on loan to Grimsby. And to be fair, I helped keep them up. signed for them the following year, yeah. And I got a pay up from Leeds to like sort of match the wages, you know, because they couldn't offer as much.
Yeah, yeah.
But then Grimsby was even worse.
who's the lad on honestly, the podcast? Somebody spoke about Proudlock.
Oh, Paul Linwood, it would have been, yeah, saying we was drinking on the way to training, wouldn't it? I mean, the drinking score at Grimsby was, oh, man, I've never seen it. It's like, and we had good players there, really good players. But I don't know what, I don't know if it was the town or, it was sank in the air anyway.
Fish. That's fish. What it was.
Yeah. It's that fish smell, wouldn't it? So it sent everyone mental. Okay, Mike Newell was manager, who was absolutely off his nut.
He likes to drink, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, mate. We went to a tournament pre-season. We ended up winning the tournament. They're all pro teams, you know, a pre-season tour. But we was on the piss every day. You ever seen Barry Conlon, the striker?
Yeah, big Baz.
So, oh, mate, funny story about Baz, right? I didn't know who he was. So when I come on loan from Leeds, obviously, like I said, I was banned from driving. So Mike Newell's rung me and gone, we've got someone else on loan from Bradford. He was at Bradford. And so I'm like, oh, his name's Barry Conlon. So I'm like, I didn't really know who anyone was. I didn't really care. So anyway, his geezer's come pick me up in a Range Rover Sport. Got a granddad cap on, smoking a fag. Looks like, he just looks like everything a footballer shouldn't look like. he's his geezer.
You made me look like Usain Bolt, by the way, Barry Conlon. Just to put a bit of
perspective. He was a proper modest pro compared to Barry Conlon, right? So I'm in this car, so I'm thinking, he must be a keeper. He's a goalkeeper, like, 100%. So anyway, got driving into Grimsby, first session. Like, he's like, as casual as you like, he went, oh, no. So what's the matter? He went, forgot me boots. So I went,
this is first day?
Mine is first day. I'm like, have you? He went, what size are you? I went, 9. He went, oh, I'm a 10. I went, oh, I've only got one anyway. Like, got my own boots, mate. Like, so he went, oh, so anyway, turned into McDonald's drive-thru. Went, want some breakfast? I was like, nah, I'm all right, mate, to be fair. Double sausage and egg McMuffin. He's shoveling this in his face, hash brown, like, got to the training ground. He's got out of the car. He's like, go on, I'm going to have a quick fag again. Like, I'm thinking, who is this? I'm thinking, I've got this wrong that he's... He might just be dropping me here just on the geezer, like Newley's mate or something. So he's like, I'm going to have a quick fag, like, in the car park. So he's like, smoking a fag. So he's come in that. So Adam Proudlock's there. Obviously, I know Proud's from playing against him when he was at Wolves and that. Good player, Proud. And training's happening. So we all put our kit on and that. Barry Conlon's got a kit on. He's borrowed one of the coach's boots that are like too big for him. But he starts doing the warm up with us. So I'm looking, going, he's warming up with a squad here. He's not even a keeper. So I went to Praz. I went, Praz, who the fuck is that big geezer there who brought me in? He's gone, that's Baz Conlon. He went, he's a striker for Bradford. I went, he's a striker. I was going, I mean, he couldn't even run. His knees were in like this. He was running. I was like, this is mental. But did he know where the goal was, mate? Yeah. Listen, they did say that basically that me and Baz coming in did save him over that edge. And to be fair, I went in and done well, and I'd do well anywhere I was. But Baz scored 6 goals, but then the mistake was that me and Baz signed full time the following year. The honeymoon period was over. Like, it was both a 3-year deal.
He played for Barnsley, I think, in the championship.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. If you look at his record, he scored a lot of goals. But I mean, the story's just come to me. I'm going to have to quickly tell it. Like, so we've gone on loan to Grimsby. So we've ended up having a night out. I can't remember what it was. And so the next morning, me and Baz have gone into Leeds town centre. Because Baz lived in Bradford, which was next door, he knew everyone in Leeds, you know. And so he went, my mate's just got this new bar. He went, it's about 10:30 in the morning. So I'm like, he won't be open. He went, no, I'll ring him now. He'll open it for us. Don't worry about that. Gone in town. Geezer's opened the door, locked it again. like two beers. Like, so me and Baz are sitting, this bar's lovely. You've got brand new fish tanks and that. Geezer's so proud of this bar. Like. So we're in there, 2 hours gone, 3 hours gone. Now I'm absolutely obliterated again. Like, so the geezer kept going on about this fish, the fish tank, right? I ain't told this story for so long, it's just come. So he's half annoying me now, even his speech. Like, thinking, this fucking geezer says fish one more time. So the bar's empty because now it's only like 12, 1 in the afternoon and no one's out really drinking. It's like a Wednesday. And so the geezer's gone off somewhere. So I went, Paz, I'll give you 50 quid if you go and grab one of them fish out of the tank. Because the geezer's going on about how expensive these fish are and that. You know, the big, like, God, they've got the big eyes and that. Like, they look expensive. Like, they even look dear. So Baz has gone, yeah, all right. Then he went, get the 50 out. So I've got the 50 quid out. I'm like, I'll give you 50 quid if you go and grab one of them out. So the geezer's come back, but Baz can't catch his fish. They're off. So
he's not an angler.
He's in the mix. He's going, he's chasing his fish about with his hand. So the geezer's come out and gone, Baz, what are you doing? So Baz has gone, he's bet me 50 quid. I can't touch one. The geezer has only gone for Baz to win the money because it's his mate. Pulled a little net and gone, oh, I'll win the money for you. You've got to give me a score, though. So I'm thinking, that's it. Anyway, he's got the net. No word of a lie, right? Baz has grabbed this fish and it's like he's lost his head for 4 seconds. He's bit the fish in half, man. He's bit it in half. In front, me and the geezer went. He's got guts coming down all down his thing. The geezer's going, no!
Twit!
Mate, he's just got the fish at the net. Like the geezer was only expecting him to just touch it and win the 50 quid. He's gone, boom. Bit it in half, mate. Even I went, I'm going home, mate. I didn't knock about him after that, to be fair. I was like, Baz, I'm a wronger, mate, but that is just, that's naughty, mate. That's, I don't even know if it's murder. What is it, murder or what is it?
I think I can remember him after that.
Fucking big.
Just to let you know, we do not advocate fish cruelty on this punk.
But I still remember the crunch. Like, the crunch of it. Oh, mate. Oh, and the big eyeballs and that. Like, the eyes were about this big. The geezer was distraught. The fish must have cost about 800 quid. The one of them really expensive fish. On his dinner. Trying to put the head back on the neck. Stay with me.
I've heard he's an animal, Baz, like. I've heard he's an animal.
That's a proper boozer. He's just, God knows what he's doing with himself. Now, I hope he's well because he's a great guy, but that's a different animal, mate. Like, I swear to God.
I wonder what's triggering his head and thought, fuck it, I'm going to buy it.
It's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. In 4 seconds, he just lost his mind. Like, he must have just went, I don't know if he had it planned, because it weren't the bet. He just had to touch the fish. Yeah. Just poke the fish for 50 quid. Next thing, he's bit it in half. I was going to the geezer, mate, I swear to God, I didn't say anything. I just said touch it. And this is just on the floor, mate. Like, guts, arms.
I didn't hang around with him after that.
Yeah. No, I had to keep a wide berth. I thought, you know what? I don't mind a few things, but that is like... I left the bar. I got a taxi. I'm going now. Like,
that's too much for me. Mate.
There's fish guts on the floor. Baz has got it all in his face still and that. He went to the toilet to wash his face and come back and basically just smeared it all round his face. Well, come back. Where you are, mate? I was like, that's disgusting. Mate.
I'm off.
I'll see you later, mate. Pick me up in the morning, yeah? Pick me up in the morning if nothing's happened. Should we talk about what happened last? Yes, what happened? We were talking about it. Was a good day, wasn't it? Yeah, all right, mate.
Oh, dear, man.
That's got me.
But yeah, then obviously, yeah, Grimsby, we got relegated. So
was Mike Newell, like, was he...
Mike Newell, I was...
In terms of the drinking, all the drinking going on, were he blind eye or?
No, he knew what was going on. He knew what was going on. But yeah, I don't know if it was a blind eye or just not giving the.
I think he likes to drink as well.
Parker, he loves it, mate. Yeah, he loves it. And how he got the sack, apparently he peanutted the chairman's tie. That's how he got the sack. That's gospel truth. Peanutted the chairman.
But well, that was the reason for getting sacked or after he got sacked?
No, that's why he got sacked. Right. Yeah. He was saying results weren't going so well, apparently. And he said something to him, newly went, shut up, and just peanutted him. He'd have killed him. Next thing he's got the sack. Newly peanutted the chairman. But no one was even surprised. I was like, that's about right, to be fair.
Can you imagine? Shears out for save his life.
Somebody's been like that comes to Everton on the way. To the post. Get them bolt coppers, the chairman's dying.
His eyes were bulgy like that fish.
He's done it too tight. Chairman's like that. He only said we'd try and win a game. Can you try and win one of these next four games, please, mate?
So at the point where you were drinking up way to training and stuff?
Yeah, it did happen, yeah. I am a bit embarrassed about that because I know what, the older I've got, I know what fans put into clubs and I know what, especially someone like Grimsby, Grimsby's a big club, you know, and the town itself, I've only got Grimsby. So, yeah, it's a bit, yeah, it was a bit disrespectful, but yeah, it did happen.
Sounds like, from what you've said, that Newell's probably the worst manager.
And the worst that club time. That you could have got. Club, it looks, sounds yeah, like that's that the worst player.
If you could have picked the worst players to play in a town of Grimsby and then get a manager who's going to make all that even worse, that was what Grimsby was at that time. Yeah, it was just, honestly, it was mayhem. We used to go to the pub in our training kit, straight from training, and sit in there and get absolutely, we was bottom of the league.
And were nobody saying no, like?
They try to, we just tell them to shut up, like, but not, I look back and you know, look, I am all for like funny stuff and going out, but that time at Grimsby, I mean, it was a bit, I'm not proud of it, to be
too much.
Was it a dark place?
I really ain't proud of that, no.
Were a dark place for you personally at that time?
Yeah, it was to me. Yeah, it was. It was.
Have you lost respect for yourself or your career?
Do you know what it was? Not sounding arrogant, I knew I was better than it. But I knew I'd put myself in the position where this is where I was now. And instead of saying I'm going to get myself out of it, I just went
with it
into this. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't do anything that I should have done, probably. You know what I mean? I weren't doing nothing that any other player weren't doing. We was out drinking. That was like, but yeah, it was. It weren't a good move. Weren't a good move for me. And the players that were there, and because it was, we did have a good side, but it was just, it just seemed like everyone that was there, it was like you got every pick. 15 players who should have been better than they were, but drunk too much, signed for Grimsby that year. Like that, honestly, that's what it was like. And then we all got together and it was just, yeah, it was mayhem, mate. Mayhem.
Did it change when Mike Newell left?
Woodsy come in, he was a youth team coach. And yeah, he got rid of a few.
So he was already at the club, so he knew already, he was the culture and everything.
Yeah, and he paid. He got rid of about five, would he? And to be fair, Grimsby, they paid them up all their money, and because I do remember I was thinking like, I'll take a pay up, like because I know I'll get another club, but all these players got a pay up and then went, but obviously Woodsy didn't want to get rid of me, so end up staying there. We had a little run in the Johnson Cup. Where we played Leeds, I scored a goal at Leeds. That was under Woodsy. Yeah, but it just sort of fizzled out. The squad changed and Yeah, just I weren't there mentally. I just weren't there. I weren't bothered. Yeah. I weren't bothered one bit.
How long did Big Baz last?
Under Woodsy.
Just did it, one of the women got paid up?
Yeah, he was the first one. I think they gave him more. Got an extra 10 grand to just go. Now, like, but Baz had gone, and basically all the people in the dressing room that were like, all the big characters sort of went. And I was left with a bunch of young kids that probably were the best fit for the club, you know, they're trying to make a name for themselves and just weren't a bit of me. It was difficult because I'd been at Stoke, I'd been at Millwall, been at Leeds, and next thing I was at Grimsby, and no disrespect to the club, because the club itself is a big club, but the training facilities and stuff, it was poor, really poor.
You got your second wind at Bury, because a lot of fans got in touch and said...
Yeah, Bury was a good... Bury, I probably played my best football at Bury. Bury suited me because of the way they played football. We got promoted to League One and...
Did something change for you personally, though? Lifestyle change?
Yeah, I had my daughter, yeah. I think I had my daughter. I just think I was older now. I'd gone through that at Grimsby and as much as I did, as much as people will say, I did drink too much and I was always out it's not like I really wanted to. I didn't crave it, do you know what I mean? It just... circumstances made me do it, I became an adult.
Grew out of it.
Yeah, Parky, exactly that, mate. And it showed on the pitch because it was, like I said, Bury was probably the best football I played.
Was there any part of that with your career as well? Because obviously Grimsby got relegated.
I think it was a bit of a scare as well, because I think from that squad, I was the only player that stayed in the Football League. No one else got an offer from a Football League club. And I think that scared me a little bit. And I thought, you know what? I ain't going to get another lot. Peter Sweeney name, he ain't going to last if this happens again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? My name was still... obviously, I played... People would see me play a few games and obviously could see that maybe I was better than it, but you know full well, don't last if that happens again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Bury, definitely. Same happened, and I think the second season when we got promoted to League One, I mean, we had a good side, good footballing team. We surprised everyone because we were favourites to go down. I think we finished mid-table. And then I signed a new 3-year deal with Bury. Yeah, and then Blackwell come in.
Mate, we've tried to get something positive on Kevin Blackwell for the last 3 years.
I can't give you it.
You don't help us.
I don't want to. I can't find it. I don't like him. Don't like him as a man.
For leaving Bury?
Yeah, big reason why I left Bury. Yeah. He was just, he couldn't, Bury, I wanted to leave Bury at one time. And I called all the players in. And I said, Shuey was there. Shuey was captain. And bearing in mind, I'd been there 2 years. I've built relationships with this club. Even the people around the club. It was a great club, Bury. Honestly, a great club. And, I wanted to go home. I wanted to go home. I was homesick and I wanted to move closer to London. That was just where I was at in my own head. And so I pulled the chief scout and the manager. I had a meeting. I said, look, and I still remember when I come in, because I was playing well at the time, and I was one of the big players at Bury, so I felt guilty for saying it as well. I didn't want to leave that club. Just wanted that club in London.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I remember the chief scout, he said to me, who's coming for you? And I went, look, I promise you now, no one's coming for me. I said, look, this is just where I'm at. I need to get back close to home. Something's going on in my own head. And I was having a little bit of a meltdown. Like, something was going on. I been boozing for many years, and do you know what I mean? And Berry didn't want me to leave, so Berry offered me and said, look, after the games on Saturday, go home Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, go back to London, and then come back Thursday, Friday for the game Saturday. So I said, I can't do that, because how am I going to tell the players that some of my best mates, we've built this, that I'm having 5 days off that they're not? So I called a meeting with all the players and I went, look, listen, got Shuey in, and I went, look, this is where I'm at. I've said I want to leave. They've offered me this. I'm taking it now because I've got to. And I'm just going to wing it and see what happens. When I come back and play or whatever, realistically, am I going to come back and be the same? Of course I'm not. It's not going to work. But I weren't even, my mind had broke down by then anyway.
Sorry, mate, are you honest with the lads saying in front of them that my head's gone?
Yeah, I said, my head is gone, mate. Like, I said,
you've got to be at a certain place to look at the lads in your team say that.
Yeah, and I said, Saints switched in my head that, I don't know if it was a little mini breakdown. I've got no clue, but I knew what I wanted and I didn't want to, didn't want to live in Manchester anymore. I needed to go back to London. The lads were brilliant with me. They was like, look, Sweens, do what you got to do, mate. Look after yourself. And like,
were you on this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, were you thinking, I'll look after myself?
Yeah, I looked after myself. Yeah.
So you're not thinking, oh, I've got fucking
no Magaluf trips.
Won't like the Magaluf. No.
It's quiet in that Monday, Tuesday.
I can go Magaluf Monday. Everything was done because I was enjoying my football. It was just saying, I can't explain it. And so done it for a little bit. Obviously, Richie Barker left, then Blackwell come in. Obviously, found out what has happened, what's been said to me. So he's called me in. But I remember the meeting, his first meeting, and he was talking to all the boys and saying, you know what it's like when a manager first comes in, they stamp their authority down. But he's looking at me. He's just fucking, his eyes are on me. In everything he says, and basically it was like, I won't take any shit, I won't take this, don't want to, everything negative, you know? So I'm looking going, I ain't even in the mood for this skeezer now. Like, so he's called me in the office probably in the next day. He's like, found out what's been happening, your days off, they all stop. So I was like, what do you mean they stop? Like, they stop. And do you know what it was? It was the way he said it, got my back up straight away. Like, who are you talking to? Like, there's ways that I'm a grown man. Like, so I went, well, I ain't made the deal with you. I've made the deal with the chairman. Nothing to do with you as far as I'm concerned. Get the chairman down here. And the chairman was shit scared of him. Because he was in, Blackwell was quite intimidating, wasn't he? He was forceful, wasn't he? And so the chairman's come in and gone, oh, Sweens, I've got to stand by. Obviously, the new gaffer come in. So I said to the chairman at the time, I went, I had this conversation with you. And I said, what if a new manager comes in? Will you stand by it? And you said yes. Because I wanted to make it very clear that don't matter who comes in, because I'll leave now. It's not a problem. Don't promise me something that you can't.
Yeah.
So anyway, that happened.
Are you playing well? Is it working for you, this arrangement?
Yeah.
Are you playing well? Feeling good?
I'm easily one of the best players there. Yeah, easily. And but Blackwell just couldn't. And look, I know everyone's got their own views and that, fair dues, but speak to me as a man, though. Like, we're grown men here. So straight away, his arrogance and that got my back up. I'm like, so I had another meeting about 2 days later. He was like, what are you going to do? And I went, I'm going to do exactly what I've been doing, mate. So I'm going back to London after the game. I'm coming back in Thursday. That's it. And he went, all right, you won't play. I went, don't play me then. Don't play me. So the following Saturday, I wasn't playing. He brought in a load of loan players from higher pro clubs, young boys. And it was just one of them, you know, like I could see he was not, he just weren't going to play me. And in the end up, I ended up forcing a move through to, was it Wimbledon?
The thing is, right, this has not helped. This, like, is arrogance or stubbornness, probably both.
It's not helping anybody, is it?
Nah.
It's not helping him. It's not helping you. No, it's not helping the team.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely.
So straight away, one of your best players, he's lost. He's not going to play it.
The only reason why I ended up, after about a month and a half, 2 months, I got back in the team. I still remember it was against Bournemouth at home. Still remember it. Because the fans were calling for me to play. And fair play, the fans were absolutely brilliant with me. And they, I responded to them in a way I haven't to any fans, probably. They were brilliant with me. So I ran harder for them, do you know what I mean? And it was something I've never done. And even
even
Richie Barco took over from Alan Neil because it was his first job. I ran harder for him because I liked him. I wanted him to do well. I wanted him to succeed. But then it made me succeed as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I got back in the team. And I remember the Bournemouth game. We beat Bournemouth 2-0 at home or something. I got man of the match. And I hadn't played for nearly 2 months. I remember after the game, Shuey would tell you this, because even Shuey was fuming as well. He was like, Where's Sweens? I was like, I'm here. He was like, you've been such a lazy sod, didn't you, your career? And I was like, what? Because obviously I'd ran about and was man of the match. And so I laughed, but then I thought, and then Shuey went to me after, he went, who does he think he is speaking about your career, that you've been lazy? That was just the way Blackwell was. It was always
Blackwell said you were lazy.
Blackwell said it to me after just getting man of the match.
Because you've done well.
Because I've done... Just say well done.
Yeah.
Like, why have you got to come at me with you've been lazy? How do you know I've been lazy? I've played 3 games under you. You don't know if I'm lazy or not. And then that happened, and it was just when I just thought, this just ain't going to work out. And I forced a move to Wimbledon, forced that through. But I remember Blackwell pulled me and he was like, listen, and this is how I knew how his mind worked. He's like, none of the fans wanted me to leave. So he basically said to me, he went, right, here's a statement. You're going to say that you want to leave. I'm going to say I was reluctant to let you leave, but I'm going to let you leave for personal reasons. Basically put this to me. So I looked at him, I was like, but listen, do you know what? I went, that's fine. I went, it's absolutely fine. I don't care. But I went, I know exactly what you are, mate. I just thought it so that he could go to the fans. Oh, no, I couldn't do anything about it. You've treated me like an absolute, you know what. You can't own that. If you're going to do it, own it. Mm. Own doing that. I mean, there was one time he took me on an away game, didn't even put me on the bench at Bury. I was like, mate, you're taking the piss now. You are actually taking the piss out of me now. And I mean, everyone wants to get where they want to do, especially managers and stuff. And you have got to do stuff your own way, but you've still got a group of men who are men playing under you, trying for their livelihoods. Have some respect. That's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, I've got, if I ever saw him, I mean, I don't know. No, I don't know.
I just don't know. Tell you what you do. You fucking get him. You fucking bite his head off.
The worst peanuts.
Did you say he didn't work out Wimbledon with Ards then? Because I know Ards from Cardiff. He's a great guy.
Great geezer. Yeah.
You were back home.
Yeah. So a camp which was probably another bad thing that I ended up now. I was back with my mates and. I don't know. I look and think, I don't know what the right move would have been over these things I've told you, because every single one of them was, maybe I've got to look in the mirror and say it's actually me. But I got injured. I broke my metatarsal in probably third game.
How old are you?
29, maybe.
All right.
Quite young, yeah.
Yeah.
So I've done my metatarsal, come back from it the next season. Well, they survived, and there was this geezer, I can't remember his name, used to pump money in. He's ended up paying for everyone to go to Vegas.
What, for staying up?
For staying up. So we're the third worst team in the country. Right. But next thing, I'm in Vegas, popping champagne bottles in there and cigars. So, and I've only played four games. So we've gone Vegas. This geezer comes. I can't remember his name. But do you remember John Main? You ever heard of Mainey?
No.
Or he's a Wimbledon legend from the non-league. So anyway, I know this John Main through other people now. This Mainey, he's played for Wimbledon 6 years ago. He's at the airport coming to Vegas. Like, what were you doing here? He's like, I think the geezer's name was John. I think he's like, yeah, John's paid for me to come Vegas as well. I'm like, what is this club about? So we're the third shittest team in the Football League, right? But this geezer's give us an envelope with about $1,000 in as well. Like, it's at the clubs we've all been at, like, even I've never even had this treatment. So we're out in Vegas, got the best tables now. The one thing was we had to go for a meal with this fella. And he took us for, like, one of the buffet things and that. And he's standing up doing a speech and that. I don't even know who this geezer is, but he spent about 80 grand. So I'm high-fiving him and that. And he said, nice one, mate. I've lost that grand, mate. Any more of them envelopes floating about. And so we went Vegas, obviously come back, done pre-season, but it just, yeah, didn't. By that stage, I was done. I was done with football.
At 30?
Yeah, at 30, yeah. Maybe even 29 I might have been. I was done, mate. I couldn't be arsed, mate. I just couldn't be arsed.
You were mentally exhausted.
Mentally, I just was like, yeah, I don't know. And it pains me to say it. It does.
Yeah.
It does, you know. I've got two boys that I hope can, if they, you know, can do it. And I hope they would never have that. Because I don't know why myself. But I just, yeah, I was done.
You're not the first, mate. You're not the first to say that.
Yeah, right? I know. I know a lot of people that, especially after football, have struggled mentally as well with coming to terms with, obviously, the money. And do you know what it is? It's like keeping your mind busy, isn't it, as well, and finding something that you can do. Like I said, I had a building company and that, but that was a slog getting up for it and that. Now, no disrespect to builders and that, but I don't care what type of hammer like that is. That's your forte. Like, that's brilliant. Like, look at this hammer. Look at the Harriet swivel. Like, mate, it's a hammer. Like,
just fucking
put the nail in the fucking wall. Right?
Put the ball in the net. Put the nail in the fucking wall. Easy.
But yeah, so that didn't work out well, and yeah.
So were you happy when you said you had enough of football? Were you happy when you came away from it?
Yeah.
You miss it?
Do you know what I missed? I just missed the changing room every day. Yeah. I missed the, like, I mean, like, the boisterousness and the abuse and, like,
crack.
Do you know? Yeah, just, you know, if you've got a good unit together, in you spend more time with these people than anyone in your life. Do you know what I mean? And you build relationships and that. I missed that. I didn't miss the football. Didn't miss playing football at all. And then I did nip it in the bud after Wimbledon. So I spent the summer doing nothing. And then I got a call. Everyone had gone back to pre-season. And everyone was saying, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to see what happens. Which probably ain't a good way, but that's just where I was.
Financially, you're like, all right for the time being?
I was all right. Not...
Long term.
Don't get me wrong, I couldn't just go, yeah, I'm gonna enjoy myself.
I
had to work, yeah, definitely. And anyway, get a call from Berry again. Ben Futcher was their assistant under Flitcroft. He went, come up and train. He went, just come up to us. I was like, nah, mate. I said, listen, Futch, can't do it, mate. Like, he was like, Swings, like, you're not doing anything, just come up. So I went, come up. Anyway, I'm out of shape. Went up and trained, played a friendly at Man City's training ground against a foreign team had come over. Anyway, played the game. I was unfit in that, but Flickers could see. Flickers liked a player as well, got on the ball. So he said he wanted to sign me. So like, listen, obviously you know you've got to get fit. I want to sign you. So I was like, all right. So he said, we're going to Spain on pre-season tour. You come. Have you ever heard of a fella called Paddy McCourt?
Yeah.
All right. You seen him play?
Yeah.
You seen what he looks like?
Yeah.
The opposite, isn't it? So Paddy McCourt, right, is there as well. He's just trying to find a club. I think he might have went to Barnsley after this. So, I mean, this guy looks like the total opposite of a footballer.
Like a tramp, doesn't he?
Thank you for saying. I didn't want to say it because he's my friend.
No offence, Paddy. No offence, Paddy, but you're like a Paddy Finland.
But so I didn't know who he was. I don't know. So
he chucked him a couple first, of quid.
Yeah, you watch your training for signed an autograph for him anyway. Anyway, he's trained, mate. So after the training, I'm going, who is that geezer there? Like, they're like, who? I'm like, the geezer's just rocked up in like flip-flops. Like, so he's ended up coming to Spain. So me and Paddy are rooming together. Anyway, absolute wrong one again. Like, Paddy's saying to me, what are you doing here? Like, why are you on trial? What's that? I was like, no, I'm not on trial. Like, Paddy could see I could play. And I was like, what are you doing here? He was like, oh, no, I'm just keeping fit and that, see what happens. And I ended up phoning my dad because he played for Celtic, Paddy McCourt. Yeah. And I, obviously, my family are all Celtic. I'm like, Dad, I'm in a room with Paddy McCourt. Dad's like, fuck off. I'm like, no, he's laying next to me. I went, speak to me, Dad. He's talking to me, Dad. So I've ended up watching a few videos about knowing that he's a proper player. Anyway, me and Paddy have ended up having a beer. We had a team night out, got steaming. I still remember Paddy's got out of the cab. He's gone, who's nicked one of my shoes? He's lost a Prada trainer. Like, he's like, one trainer, like that's just the guy he was. So the next day, he's walking back to the room with one shoe. So the next day, we've got up and he's gone, come, let's go for a beer. I should have said no. Obviously, I didn't. So we went to a beach club, me and him. Got absolutely steaming while the lads are training. And got steaming, and then that was the end of, obviously, that. But
you just go here, what? Not tell anyone.
I don't know why I did it. It's Paddy McCourt, isn't it?
Fancy if it had been Joe Bloggs, you'd have fucked him up. I'm going to
training. I've got to shut your mouth, mate. Paddy McCourt, well, as he was saying it, I was putting my swimming trunks on. Come on.
Pilbar.
So we done that. Obviously, Flickers, the gaffer, found out. And he, at the airport, when we was going home, he called me over and went, sit down. He was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, no, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry, mate. Like, he's like, I'll speak to you anyway, like, when we get back. But I knew it weren't good. And so he phoned me and he offered me a year's contract, but he offered me something like 800 quid a week. And I know, I'd been in the game long enough to know that's an offer for you to decline.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, I've got his 800 quid, blah, blah, blah. And I went, I know what's happening. I went, Flickers, no hard feelings, mate. I went, look, you probably wouldn't have got the Peter Sweeney you want anyway. And yeah, that was that. I ended up signing for Dartford.
Have you got any regrets?
Yeah. Attitude, yeah. Regrets to when I got to that bit, to not go further. To go back down and then to go to that again, I look back and think, a bit embarrassing, really, yeah.
Seems you got back up there at Bury.
I got there at Bury, and I probably got further than I'd been. But then, yeah, I'd never had that extra little bit to...
And Bury, though, I don't think there's anything to be embarrassed about. The fact that you just said, in your head...
It weren't
a conscious decision.
It wasn't nothing. You know, I look back at the Stoke days and even Millwall days, especially Leeds days, that, yeah, that was, I literally went, no, fuck you.
That's out of your control.
At Bury, I didn't. It was, I was speaking as an adult, you know what I mean? I was saying, this is what it is. So, yeah, maybe not regrets at Bury, but, yeah, definitely going to Stoke. Me and Dubes was out. start when you shouldn't be out. You know what I mean?
Wrecking ball.
I was spiraling out of control.
And when you talk about regrets, there's positives, massive positives to look at. You know, FA Cup finals and everything that you achieved.
Obviously, yeah. I think that happened so early in my career that I assumed it was, I didn't see it for what it actually was.
That were always going to be like that.
And I did, yeah, you thought, I just thought that was, I'm going to do this again. Then we played in Europe the next year and you just assume that it don't work out this like that, is it? But yeah, no. Yeah, loads of regrets, but I've done something that a lot of people ain't done, so.
And how long have you been finished now?
5 years now. What was the moment you thought you was done? Was there like a...
When I were as slow running as you. When I watched that video and thought, he's quicker than me, that gob.
You see it on the Stoke News and went, yeah, fucking hell.
I saw it in Sentinel. I thought, fucking hell, is that...
The Sentinel, I can't even remember the paper.
Like one of them old fucking comic books, where, you know, where you flick it.
What are you...
He's running, I'm like, he's fucking slow. It's faster than me and it's slow. I would done. I weren't bothered that I weren't playing.
There does. A moment comes, doesn't it, when you mentally and even physically that you go, can't do it. Yeah. You just know. Whether it be too short that people will say, oh, you shouldn't have, you know in your own head.
Well, it depends what you've been through to get to that point as well, whether it's injuries.
The thing is with football, right? You know, if you've lost the love, you can't carry on. You know what I mean?
But it gets to the point where it's like, it's an income. You know what you're saying? Berry came in for you and offered you something. I bet parties was like, at least I haven't got to get a proper job.
That's what it became for me, yeah, was earning a living. Yeah. And I mean, look, some people do look at that, their old careers and... But yeah, that's what it did. You're right in saying that. It did. It became an income. Obviously, you look at it as an income, yeah, but you've got to have something else in your brain to be able to do it.
I don't think income's enough.
It ain't. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but what's the alternative? If you've got nothing else, not to be.
You'll never fulfill. If you look at it just as an income, you'll never fulfill what you're supposed to do. That's where I was, yeah. I mean, Wimbledon became an income. Even signing for Dartford was an income.
Something in it.
Mm. It was an income.
You're never going to be.
I know what you're saying, Chris. You want the love for it as well.
Yeah.
But you've got to pay the mortgage. You've got to pay your bills and everything at the same time. For some lads, I imagine, the only option to carry on playing.
Yeah, no.
But when it gets to that point, you're never going to be. When it gets to that point, you're never going to be the same player.
Mm.
You might be good enough and do a job, but you're never going to be the same player. Tough world after, isn't it?
Yeah, afterwards, yeah. It's a bit rubbish, isn't it?
No, I appreciate you.
Yeah, top man, Swains. Thanks for coming on.
I really appreciate it. Enjoyed that. Cheers,
thank you. No, I did as well. No, to be fair, I've not spoke about these things for a long time, yes.
Well, we're under cost with the therapy podcast.
Therapy cost,
come and tell us whatever you want, baby. Come and tell us whatever you want.
I'll be bringing you during the week crying.
fucking Swains to me again.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all this stuff, mate. I left this in the past.
No, top man, mate. Cheers, top man.
No worries. Thanks for having me, chaps. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.